cliffcentral.com.
Some very interesting stuff in case you missed the first hour with JJ Cornish talking about the Gambia, going through some headlines. Larry King's will came up as a discussion, and Catherine's just sent me a message. It's pretty interesting. Catherine is listening to us now. She says, my great-grandfather died in 1933, and his estate has still not been wound up. This is because he specified that it can only be finished up on the death of his last remaining son. And then all the assets, which include lots of shopping centers, can be divided between the existing relatives. The last son died in 2005, by which stage there were 36 grandchildren. There were lots of great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren running around in many different countries. So, I don't know if... Yeah, I don't know if that's very sensible to, like, make it so complicated, because you never know what the outcomes might be. And here there could be, like, 100 different people who have to benefit from the estate. So it's so difficult to wrap it up. And also, it gets so diluted that if you had, you know, 100 descendants and you divide, even if it was millions and millions of rands between them, they only get like a few thousand rand each at the end of it all. So, you know, you don't want to leave it too long. You don't want to mess around.
That seems like just a lot of work. I do understand some people who have clauses that are like beneficial to the person who will receive the money, or the family, for example, if someone is a known addict, a drug addict, or an alcoholic, they say you will only get this payout once you are sober for X number of months or years.
You know that you're not allowed. Only get this. I mean, in South African law, and I don't know if this applies all over the world, but it seems to have been a part of ancient Roman law, which means that it probably carries across most legal systems in the world today. You can't rule from the grave. So you actually can't stipulate...
Why not?
No, you can't. You can't stipulate things like, I will only let my son inherit once he becomes sober. That's fiction. You actually can't do that.
Oh. Yeah. Then you don't deserve my money. You're drunk.
You better be hoping Aunt Tabitha leaves you something.
Woo! She's my favorite. I'm sure she has.
Maybe she's got millions stashed away. You never know, hey, Sia. I mean, you can't tell.
So, she probably has her mince pie recipe saved for me.
So we were speaking about this earlier in the week, and I do want to refer to one or two of the stories in the news because I do think it matters. So I saw a story about Fresh and Euphonic that made it into the news yesterday, and I wonder if this will get nearly as much reporting as the allegations of rape. So on the 15th, that's yesterday, they said the following. This is a statement from Fresh and Euphonic. We're pleased to state that after considering all of the evidence collected while investigating the claim made by the complainant, obviously in this case, Mrs. Madikizela, and that's the first time we've seen her name, against us, the chief prosecutor has dismissed the allegations on the basis that the allegations are without merit. The docket has been marked nolle prosequi, which means they're not going to prosecute. As we've said before, these are false allegations, and we are deeply saddened that gender-based violence, a serious crisis in South Africa, was weaponized in this manner. A huge thank you to all of our family, friends, supporters, and our legal team. That's from DJ Fresh and Euphonic yesterday. So charges have been dropped because the prosecutor says there's not enough evidence. Interesting, because we were talking about this just last week and wondering how long it was going to go on for. So clearly, the prosecutors here have got their act together and they've managed to figure out what to do without wasting too much time. But this does, you know, if this is the whole story, and I have no reason to believe there's any more to follow, but it does drive me a little bit crazy. Obviously, if this woman believes that what happened happened, she's going to continue to push this. She may even want to make a civil claim of some kind. Remember, in a civil claim, you don't need a balance. You don't need to prove anything beyond a reasonable doubt. You only need to prove it on a balance of probabilities. If that's the case, then she might even get some money out of them, because on the balance of probabilities, she might have more evidence than she does to prove anything beyond a reasonable doubt. But having said that, if she made the whole thing up, and if there is no evidence whatsoever of this, then I agree with Fresh and Euphonic. This does enormous damage to the cause of gender-based violence. a very serious problem that we have in this country. Because if you go around accusing people of rape when they haven't raped you, that does exactly the opposite of help victims. And it's worth referring to cases in the past in South Africa where the same has happened. You know, I remember famously Makhaya Ntini had a similar situation occur with him. And there are a lot of bad dates or a lot of bad sexual experiences that later on become rape allegations. I don't know that that's very I don't think that's helpful to the cause of gender-based violence in this country. And if this is the end of the story for the DJ Fresh and Euphonic rape allegations, and it seems to be criminally anyway, then I'm very happy for them that they can move on with their lives. But the damage is probably already done in many situations. I mean, they're not going to get reemployed immediately. They're not going to immediately pick up all of their old clients. It's going to be very difficult for them to reestablish themselves in business. And all it took from one woman was, hey, I have a story to tell. Whether it's true or not, who knows? But the criminal charges have been dropped, so we have no reason to believe that there is any basis in evidence for all of this. And I just feel sorry for the guys. I really do. I obviously feel sorry for this woman too, because either she made up the story at very worst, or at best she has no ability to prove her story, which may be for her just as sad. Anyway, that's what we've got. That's an update.
I was thinking about it yesterday, toing and froing around, was it a little too soon that the decision was made, which I think was mutual. No one forced the other to do so, for them to step away from their respective radio shows. And I actually thought it was good for them. They have been able to own their power. You know, if they were sticking around and in limbo of, are we going to be hired again? Are we not? Are we going to be dropped? They were able to own their power a little and say, okay, we're moving on.
What happened? They resigned, right? Instead of having to be fired.
So, I don't think the word resigned was even used officially, but they said between themselves and their employers, they reached the business decision to rather not resume their shows. Both of them have also posted posts that allude to them doing something new. Fresh posted a photo of a radio. Euphonic posted a selfie of him with a microphone, so it looks like they're already onto something new. But when it comes to this woman, that I think I said this as well when the story first came out a few weeks ago, the unfortunate thing about cases like this is it's not like physical violence where you have the x-ray of your broken leg or you have the selfie of your bruised up face. This still remains a thing. And with so much speculation, and now it's even dismissed, it makes you go, oh, what exactly did anything even happen? Which is unfortunate if something did happen. But
I'm hoping that all of those people who immediately climbed on the bandwagon and said, yeah, I told you Fresh and Euphonic were rapists and all that kind of thing, I hope those people are eating their words, because you don't know more than they do, and you don't know more than this woman does, and you certainly don't know more than the prosecutor does. And if you were one of those people on social media who climbed in as if you had personal knowledge, then I think you owe everybody at least an apology, and at most, why don't you just shut up and get off social media?
Gareth, I don't think a lot of the public are big enough to do that.
No, of course not.
And I think we're going to continue on. Look, whatever we may have even heard in a case like Michael Jackson, we can say a lot is still speculation because we have not heard of anything concrete. But all it takes is for one kid now adult to say, actually, Michael Jackson did abuse me. And we would believe them or slant towards that because that is what the narrative has been. And all one needs now is to have a narrative in your case, whatever it is, that will add fuel to the fire and people will believe you.
Now, I'm interested in what you had to say about their employers, which was Prime Media, and what they did. So Candace says on the WhatsApp line, 0797482090, she says, so Prime Media actually got rid of them then without a verdict. So now what? Well, it was supposedly something they it was mutually agreed that they would leave. But I wonder now if there are people that they can go after and sue. Because just like the alleged victim in this one, they call her Ms. Madikizela, just like she can try and sue them civilly to try and get money out of them, and she may well be able to prove her case there where criminally you couldn't, just as she can do that, they can also sue her for all the losses and the damage and the defamation that has come from the accusation. So there are legal remedies that are probably at play already as we speak.
Well, I was taking their statement by word for word and also trying to read between the lines. Their statement with Prime Media said was putting forward it's a business decision. Yeah. It is best for both businesses, et cetera, et cetera. They didn't say anything about rape. They didn't say anything about...
Yeah, we seem to have lost you. Sorry.
They said both parties, meaning Fresh and Euphonic.
Mm.
Oh.
No, you're back.
Am I back?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah, they didn't say anything about rape and whether or not they thought they were guilty, but they said both parties, meaning Fresh and Euphonic versus Prime Media, thought that it was a good business decision for them to rather end.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Let's see what happens, because now, obviously, there are still further legal options available to both parties. So we'll see whether that takes us anywhere. We didn't do the one thing for the week this morning, so I'm feeling bad about that. We'll have to get to that. I don't know if we've got time now, because we're going to speak to Christo Lingenfelt just now from Coronation, and I don't want to squeeze anything of because he's got a lot to tell us. It's pretty damn interesting. I did get some interesting emails from people yesterday about you know, the depression and anxiety stuff that we spoke about, mm-hmm. with that author yesterday, Marion Schur.
Marion.
And there are lots and lots of people who are clearly dealing with all kinds of depression and anxiety. And just among our audience, there are lots of people who admitted in emails that this has been really a helpful discussion for them, because they feel, just like Leanne admitted yesterday, that they can't always talk about this stuff. And I do know some people who, you know, they consider it, you know, it's not necessary to go and visit a psychologist or to go and get treatment from a psychiatrist in terms of medicines. They like to deal with these things in their own lives. And humans have for hundreds of years, thousands of years, in fact, been doing that. So if, you know, if exercise and diet and having a purpose in your life is enough, then maybe you don't need the medicine and maybe you don't need the therapy. But if you do need those things, then there's no one who can judge that better than you. And it was a really interesting conversation. I got a few fantastic emails, some of them very long, from people who wanted to tell their stories. And it's not going to go away. It's going to be something we'll pick up again soon, because there's so many people who care about this subject. That's also why we keep a focus on mental health on the show. So don't worry, we'll be paying attention to that going forward. But there are lots and lots of people who had quite a lot to say about depression and anxiety, and especially how they're coping with it, considering the year that everybody had last year. So Ruth says, there's plenty of this going on at the moment, obviously referring to the depression and anxiety stuff. It's horrible, but sometimes it's braver to talk to someone than to keep it bottled up inside. I couldn't agree more. And if you don't have someone to talk to, that can only make it worse. So that's where you need to hire, you know, professional help. And it's probably a good idea for you to start talking to someone, even if you do have family and friends who can listen, because they're not professionals. A psychologist doesn't just sit there and listen. They sometimes point you in the right direction or help you to open up vistas that were closed. There may be all kinds of things that they're able to help you with that your family and friends could not. So it's not just talking to someone. It's talking to someone who knows what to do with what you say. And that could be helpful. And as we did yesterday, the info for SADAG will be on the Cliff Central website, should you need them for something a little more serious. Anyway, Sia's got some other stories that he wants to tell us about this morning before we get to Coronation.
All right. Let me quickly get to this story that we've been teasing. Vice President Kamala Harris's niece using her name.
Yeah.
It's quite Rahmones.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
the extent that she's gone to.
See, I saw her posting pictures with Kamala and like trying to drive up her social media following, and you know, she's kind of trying to be cool and interesting. But what is her actual business? What does she do, this Mina Harris?
She is a lawyer that has now become an entrepreneur, though, with all of this recently over the past couple of years. And you're right about drumming up social media. On Instagram alone, she has over 800,000 followers. But the White House aides and advisors have stepped in and said they are increasingly concerned about the ethical implications of the promotional pattern that this Mina Harris is on by using her aunt and name dropping so much so that they have actually banned her from releasing any products with her aunt's name or likeness attached to it.
Good Lord. Imagine how embarrassing it is that you have to get the whole White House to message you and to call you up and say, listen, honey, you've got to stop doing this. It's really, really tacky, and you're embarrassing your aunt. She's just become vice president, and she's already having to put out fires within the family. It's like, it's a bit like Meghan Markle, I've got to say, with her family embarrassing the royal family when she started dating Harry. That father of hers and the sister in the wheelchair.
So, Mina... Yeah. So Mina has this women's empowerment organization called Phenomenal, and under that is an umbrella of different things that she does, including writing children's books. There's one book in particular that was called Carmela and Maya's Big Idea.
Oh, wow.
Like, come on. Like, don't do that. She released her latest book the night before Carmela was sworn in as the vice president. So talk about capitalizing on all of this. She does a lot of interviews. And now she even released a brand of t-shirts that has Vice President Auntie written on it. Sure. So now that's when the White House actually had to step in and say, no, you can't do anything anymore. Don't use her name. Don't use anything associated with
disgusting.
Her. This is too bad now.
It's amazing, though, how every family has got someone in it who's a freeloader. Huh? There's everybody has someone in their either immediate or their slightly extended family who's out to try and get what they can out of every situation. Like, you'll do well, and then someone else will go ahead and like have t-shirts made with your face on them and say, this is my cousin. It's just terrible. It's really, really tacky.
I have to be honest, though, I would be this person, wouldn't you?
You would if your aunt was Kamala Harris?
Absolutely. No. You wouldn't, Gareth?
No, I wouldn't try to make money out of it. Absolutely not. I'd be quiet and keep my head down, and then I might get invited to one or two things at the White House. That would be nice. She's not going to... Kamala can't invite her to anything now. She can't actually be present for all the exciting things. She can't come along and share in the White House dinners or go to important ceremonies or get a special private tour of X, Y, or Z, because she's made an embarrassment of herself. And people are going to be looking out for her. Plus, you know she can't keep her mouth shut. So she's going to be live streaming the whole time or taking pictures of everything or, you know, harassing White House staff. No. She's messed it up. If you play your cards right, you could get access to all kinds of interesting things. You could meet the most amazing people in the world. Instead, this girl's just ruined it for herself.
Oh, no.
Yes. I'm afraid
I think
so.
Part of the reason, though, is the fact that Kamala has these stepchildren, yes, but she doesn't have children of her own. So maybe this Mina has taken up that position to say, I'll be like the first niece.
She's from what I've seen, Kamala has not only an embarrassing niece, but she also has embarrassing stepchildren. Because the one stepdaughter is like, she's supposedly a model, but she looks like someone who just walked out of a garbage tip somewhere in San Francisco. So we'll leave that alone for a moment, because we actually have some interesting and important stuff for our wallets, for our bank accounts, for our assets, things that we can start to think about going forward. It's almost that time of year where the finance minister comes and proposes a budget. It's definitely that time of year where people start to think about their taxes, and if you haven't so far, you need to. And we haven't spoken to him for some time now, but it's good to see you again. Christo Lingefeld, who's from Coronation. How are you, Christo?
Hey, good in you, Gareth. Good to see you. Hey, see ya.
Yeah, great to see you again, man. First of all, how are things going at Coronation after the year of the pandemic? I mean, there's quite a lot going on. Have you guys been busy?
Yeah, busy. All adjusting to working from home. I think we're all kind of settled in now. So I've got some interesting things to tell you, but to be honest, I think I'm more interested in what Tia has to say about Kamala Harris. He seems to have all the interesting inside scoop.
No, you're wrong.
I'm very intrigued.
Yes. No, we're more interested in what you have to say. So let's just talk about this, because I know we've spoken before about tax-free investing, but let's just get everybody's heads in the right place for a start, because it is that time of year where we hand over a check to government if you pay provisional personal tax, or if you pay company tax or any of those things, and you want to minimize the amount that you hand over to them, not because you're trying to avoid taxes, but because what you're trying to do is maximize your own ability to keep hold of and invest your own money carefully. And you can do that by taking part in a number of different ventures, including tax-free savings, which we'll talk about in a second, tax-free investments. If you haven't got a team of accountants and auditors to help you do that, that doesn't mean that you have to be one of those people who just gives everything you have over to government when it's tax season. So what kind of advice do you have for people, first of all, who have no idea of what to do at this time of year? And let's start off with money that you might have to put aside every month.
Yeah. So if you are one of those fortunate people who have money, let's say outside of the pension system that you have saved up, that perhaps is already invested or it's sitting in the bank somewhere, you've effectively got a week and a half to put that into something that grows tax-free, and that's called a tax-free investment. Mm-hmm. So in a nutshell, just to quickly remind everyone how that works, all South Africans have an allowance of up to 36,000 Rand a year, or call it 3,000 Rand a month.
Right.
You can, of course, invest less than that, that you can invest every year. And you have a lifetime cap of 500,000 Rand that you can allocate to this. And it really is one of those, you know, very rare gifts from government, Gareth, where effectively it comes with no strings attached. You save your after tax money, or you put it into this investment. And the beautiful thing is, while it is allocated to this tax free investment, all of your growth, whether it's interest or dividends or capital gains, all of that compounds free of tax. And then the real kicker is at the end, you don't pay any tax on it. And that becomes really meaningful if you implement it over the long term. So I've got a great little example that I'd like to share with you.
Sure.
You know, for argument's sake, if you, let's say, have a newborn child and you want to give this child an amazing gift, and you start saving in their name, the maximum of 36,000 Rand a year, you keep doing that. Effectively, at the age of 14, this child has now accumulated the full 500,000 Rand lifetime contribution, so you can't add to that. If you then invest that money from day one into a long-term growth-oriented type portfolio that, say, gives you a return of 5% over inflation, which is not an unreasonable expectation, by the age of 18, that child or young adult effectively has an after-tax investment value of 1 million rand.
Wow.
After inflation, so in today's money.
Brilliant.
If you then take that forward and, you know, they have the foresight to just let that compound at the same rate of return until the age of 65 when they want to retire, amazingly, that will end up being 10 million rands again in today's money. Now, 10 million rands means most South Africans can retire comfortably with that amount of money. And the real kicker is you never ever pay tax on that money again. So that 10 million rand is after tax, no capital gains tax. You know, if you think about it today, you can pay as much as 18%,
you know,
capital gains tax effectively. Now think about that 10 million rand investment. If you've only ever contributed 500,000 rand to that, well, the bulk of your value is a capital gain, right? And you
right.
can end up paying, you know, north of 1.5 million rand just on capital gains tax.
For what I love about
this, really is a powerful tool if you invest for the long term.
You know, we were talking about Larry King's will earlier, and we've had a couple of people call in during the course of the show this morning and say that they, you know, that their will is something that they haven't thought about. But of course, inheritance tax is also something which comes into play. But this whole scheme that you're talking about now with tax-free investing, I mean, what a gift to leave for someone, and what a sensible gift, not only in terms of the magnitude of the amounts of money that you can actually put away for somebody, but the fact that it's once taxed, it's done. You don't need to worry about that being taxed later on again.
Yeah. And I mean, it really teaches you two lessons. Like, the one very obvious one is just that power of compounding, right? So if you just let it grow and earn growth on top of that growth over the long term, it becomes really meaningful, even a really small amount today. But the second real lesson, and that's kind of why we're here today, is you need to start as early as possible. So of course, none of us have just been born. We are well into our lives already. But if you haven't started contributing to your tax-free investment, well, you know, now is as good a time as ever if you have the money. And remember, you've got until next Friday, effectively, to take up this year's capacity.
I remember you speaking to us last year about how important it is to think long-term when you're investing. And of course, we've had a really tough year that nobody could have predicted. And for many people, 2020 was an awful, awful year, and all their best laid plans were thrown away. COVID, the economic and health crisis that's resulted from COVID, obviously. Now, what would you say to concerned investors in this kind of environment when it comes to investing tax-free?
Sure. So you're right. Last year, we're pretty much a year from what we call the COVID crash in March last year, which if you had investments allocated to market-linked assets, you would have seen a significant drawdown in March last year. Yes. But the amazing thing is that we have seen a very strong recovery since. So I just looked at, you know, a few portfolios that we manage that are effectively diversified portfolios that are managed for the long term. Some of them, even with the March crash last year, over the last 12 months, have returned in excess of 12-13% after inflation. Now, again, that teaches you one big lesson, which is you need exposure to growth assets if you're a long-term investor, and B, as long as you are a long-term investor, you really should think about sitting through those cycles. Really should think about your investment in multi-decade periods. To the contrary, what we have seen is many investors continue to allocate their money very conservatively. So in the tax-free investment environment, the latest stats I've seen still has more than half of all tax-free investment accounts in South Africa sitting with the banks, effectively meaning that you are earning a cash-like return. Right. So I quickly looked up some of the returns on offer, and they've effectively ranged from somewhere around 0.5%, as we all know, if it's a small amount with the banks, you know, all the way up to a whopping 3% if it's a significant value. And that's just a function of low interest rates today, right?
Right.
So if you think about that relative to what current inflation rates are, well, it's above that. So if you are today sitting in cash in this investment that, you know, we would argue is a very much a long-term investment, well, then I would say to you, your money's not working hard enough. And you need to make sure that you have enough exposure to assets that can grow over time.
Sure. All right. Tax-free investing. I mean, you've made a very good case for it. It's a great way for people to build up a nest egg over a prolonged period of time. But what about those people who might want to access that money to cover short-term needs? Again, we know what kind of financial difficulty some people might be in. Yes. Are you able to access that money if you need it?
Yeah, so that's the beautiful thing about this product, is effectively there are no strings attached. So you can add to it. Remember, you have a lifetime allocation or capacity that you can use up, but you can access it at any time. And again, no matter what your age is, no matter how far into the investment it is, you get an after-tax return from it, which is beautiful. And of course, in today's environment, it's very reasonable to think that many South Africans would maybe need to access it, right?
Right.
So you know, no judgment on that part. That's the first point.
Sure.
But the second point is, I think it's worthwhile just to be aware of what the implications are of that potential withdrawal. Because remember, you have a lifetime cap of 500,000 Rand. So let's say you've contributed the maximum of 36,000 Rand for the last 2 years, for instance.
Sure.
You now have somewhere around 72,000 Rand that you've contributed already. So you have about 428,000 Rand left that you can contribute for your whole lifetime.
Right.
Now, if you take your money out, again, that's something you might want to do. But if you take it out, just be aware that if you put it back in, well, you now start off a lower capacity. You now start off that 428,000 Rand. And anything you put back in resets off that lower level. So be very sure that when you access it, you are aware of the implications in terms of future contributions. Yeah. And really, I think the way you should think of it is it should be your kind of pot of last resort. It really should be the last pot of money you feel you would want to access.
That makes a lot of sense. All right. So obviously, everybody's finances are particular to them. So there are a lot of people who might have more questions, but you have to then go and see someone. You have to speak to someone on an individual basis. Now, who can everybody talk to when you need to find out more about tax-free savings? Is there any advice you could give about who we can approach directly? Because you can't answer every specific question now.
Yeah. So, I mean, firstly, it really is quite straightforward. So if you don't want to think about it too much, you just want to put some money aside. Again, you can do it from as little as 250 Rand a month, for instance, if you go to the Coronation website. It really is just a few clicks if you're an existing investor. If you have a financial advisor, of course, it's a good idea to give them a call. Just make sure that your financial advisor is independent, they're qualified, and they're licensed by the authorities to take care of your tax-free investments. Or like I said, give us a call at Coronation, visit our website, coronation.com. Follow a few very simple steps to a tax-free investment. And then from our side, the funds, we have flagship funds aimed at tax-free investments specifically, the Coronation Market Plus Fund. There's a dedicated tax-free investment class of that fund for everyone who just wants to put some money aside and let that compound over the long term.
Brilliant. Well, leading investment house Coronation is a registered financial services provider which manages the long-term savings of millions of South Africans. And of course, the tax year ends on the 28th of February, so make sure you've got all your ducks in a row before that happens. Christo, it's always good to see you, man, and thank you for your advice. It's really, really helpful stuff to put into the pot while we all get ready for the end of the financial year. And say hi to everybody at Coronation for us.
Sure. Good to see you guys.
Yeah, good to see you too. We must make this a more regular occurrence. Thank you. There's Christo Lingenfeld. He's from Coronation, and you can find out more by going to their website and by listening to this podcast. If you missed any of it, you can listen to it again. We'll put all the details on at cliffcentral.com. Very good. Very, very good. We've ticked a lot of boxes this morning. Got our finances together, figured out that we need to put wills in. In fact, I'm just going to say that for this week, what the hell? The one thing for the week is the will. Why don't you get onto that?
A lot of legal and finance talk,
hey,
but
listen,
it's all good.
Make sure that your life's in order. You know, otherwise, you're a messy person and you make it messy for everyone else. Michelle says, I really enjoyed the discussion about mental health yesterday. I've been seeing a psychologist for the past 8 or 9 months and I've been completely transformed. More people need to tell their stories so that those struggling with buried traumas and other serious issues can know that there is support and that there is another way of living. That is a good point. You know, Michelle, for some people, though, it's very difficult to do that because they're still in a traumatic situation. So I think, you know, survival first, and then once you've managed to extricate yourself from the difficulty as much as possible, it's then... You know, it's the next logical step is to start sorting out what's left of the scaffolding of the bad stuff. But yeah, I thought this morning we definitely needed to get a whole lot of our things together. So we've got our finances together, we've got our wills together. We're sorting stuff out today. We're being very practical.
Well, you know, they're also talking about the mental health thing. There's some people who I wouldn't say it's too late for, but they just might need a more work to put in to themselves. I was watching, sounds a little morbid now as I'm about to explain it, but a father was married and had two sons. They came back from dinner, walked into their home, and they were shot at.
Oh, Jesus.
And in the moment, as a big person, way bigger than me, he said, if I make it out of this, I'm going to forgive whoever did this to us.
Jeez.
Subsequently, his wife and one of his sons passed away. And it turns out the other son was behind all of this. So the other son had planned this whole ambush on this, right? Screwed up. So screwed up. And all I was noticing as he was doing this interview was he was not moved, phased, or it looked like he hadn't properly internalized all of this. He was just like very pragmatic with it. Yep, it happened. Mm-hmm. And the son is in jail. He's on death row now. Yep. Okay. I'm going to move on. I've forgiven him. I thought, that something like that cannot happen, and that does not affect your mental health. That just cannot be. But he was so composed.
Yeah, well, there are sociopaths and psychopaths out there. That's they're obviously the ones who get affected the least. But some people have just an ability to cope with things that the rest of us probably wouldn't, and some people have no ability to deal with anything. So you have to figure out where you are on that list, and hopefully you're able to find a way out of some of the worst situations you could end up in. So listen to this. This is really cool. We like a bit of history in the mornings as well. They've discovered a 5,000-year-old brewery in Egypt. Now, no one's surprised by this because we knew that in ancient Egypt they had beer, and I think they even had wine. I'm not sure, but they might have had some wine as well. But they certainly had beer, and the ability for human beings to discover and to make use of alcohol has, it's one of the oldest things we've been able to do. I think as soon as we discovered that once you allow something to ferment for a little bit and it degrades into alcohol, that you can drink that and it makes you feel good, I think that's probably one of the earliest discussions and discoveries that humanity's ever come across. And it's just terrific. I mean, we haven't ever looked back, right? It's just been anybody who drinks, obviously, has done extremely well in life from that point on, because it doesn't put the brakes on them at all, right? Sarcasm, yep. Just ladling on the sarcasm this morning. But yeah, so
this sounds like my type of party.
They discovered this brewery that's 5,000 years old in ancient Egypt. So it's just such a part of human history that we drink.
5,000 years old. So if you date it back, the archaeologists are assuming it was around 3,100 BC,
right,
which was the reign of King Nama in Egypt. And this is not just a makeshift table and a few bottles. This was a brewery which had a production capacity of over 22,000 liters. And there was so much thought already put into this. The brewery itself was split into 8 sections, including one particular section that had 40 clay pots that were used to warm mixtures of grain and water. So they already had all of this thought process underway. It's like, yep, you know what? It's tough being out here in this heat.
That's so
doing
great.
Whatever they did back then, but they needed to drink.
Damn right. I think that's fantastic. So, I mean, breweries, we know, apart from breweries, the only thing that's probably older than that is prostitution. So somewhere between prostitution and breweries, ancient Egypt was formed.
I love how candid the Egyptian tourism officials are, because they're the ones who released this news over the weekend. They say, look, we understand we had a very tough time as well, over the past few months with lockdowns and COVID. But we know that, yes, people love to travel, but people love to drink as well. So they'll be showing off this brewery if you're interested.
And it's so great, sure, because, Egypt, modern Egypt is an Islamic country, and obviously alcohol and drinking is frowned upon. It's haram in some places, and some places take it a lot more seriously than others. But you see, they've got to look for the silver lining here. So a brewery that's discovered under King Nama is still considered a major tourist attraction. Good.
Yeah, now they're saying, come on through, come on and see it. It's actually quite shocking to look at the numbers. Egypt usually had annual visitors of like 13 million. And it dropped to 3.5 million last year.
Yeah, no, that's hectic. Listen, I mean, no one's traveling at the moment. I'm not going to be hopping on a plane anytime soon. Are you?
No.
Even if it becomes, because apparently, here's something interesting I discovered yesterday. I was watching the news, and according to, I think it was ENCA, if you go to Britain now, let's say you're going over there to visit family and friends, or you have business there or whatever, you have to put yourself into a two-week quarantine in a hotel that they choose, but it's all on your credit card. So in other words, if you go over there and you stay, if you want to stay for a week or two, you've got to first spend 2 weeks in quarantine, and it's going to cost you money, and they will choose the hotel. And it might be one of those shitty hotels that's right at the airport where you don't actually get to see anything. You don't get to leave. You're stuck in the room for 2 weeks at your expense before you can even leave the hotel.
Now, or it might be something that's extremely over your budget.
Well, who's going to do that? I mean, who wants to spend 2 weeks in a hotel in cold London now? So I don't see how that's going to help their tourism industry at all. They're obviously doing what they think is right with the coronavirus pandemic, and they're obviously doing what they think is right in terms of trying to protect people from the South African variant. But if you go over there now, that is what you're in for. So I don't see any reason why anyone would want to go to England now.
And for a lot of us, firstly, just affording a holiday is a lot, but then on top of that you have to take time off for that holiday, 3 weeks or 2 weeks plus an additional 2 weeks. That's like a month that you need to take off for this. Who can afford to do that right now?
Well, apparently the same is true for Australia. You have to quarantine in a government appointed hotel for a minimum cost of $3,500 Australian a night. That's incredibly expensive. So, I mean, you know, I just don't see why anyone would want to put themselves through that. I know there are countries that are opening up where you could probably go to now where they don't have quarantine. And we spoke to a guy who's in Turkey yesterday, and apparently they also have some quite strict rules, although it doesn't sound like it's nearly as strict as here. Restaurants are open. Most of the places pretty relaxed. But I think there are probably places that are taking it more and less seriously, and you don't want to end up in one of those places where they're taking it much more seriously, because then you're going to end up paying and you're not going to have a very nice time.
Yeah, and look, rightfully so that we've complained about lockdown because it has affected us, but lockdown is one thing when you're at home with your loved ones, with your pets, with the garden, with the pool. Even if you don't have all of those, you're comfortable at home.
But you're in your own house, you know.
Yeah, if you're locked down in a hotel room for two straight weeks.
Horrible.
I'd go bonkers.
Horrible. Can't leave, can't use the amenities of the hotel, you know?
Mm-mm.
Very messy.
Just some carpet that someone has probably thrown up on three times before you.
Yeah. Well, Sia, you'll be pleased that Prince Harry is trending on Twitter this morning. I know I said just yesterday that trending is a stupid thing. But guess why he's trending? Because of the Oprah interview that's coming up. And it's not Meghan Markle that's trending. It's Prince Harry that's trending. Because no one wants to interview Meghan Markle. Nobody cares about her. People are only interested in Oprah and Harry.
I've already pictured it in my mind. I know exactly how it's all going to play out. They're probably going to film it at Oprah's house in her garden.
Yeah.
Because they're neighbors, you know that.
Sure.
I'm just ready for all of this.
Well, that's not what people do if they don't want attention. It's not what people do if they don't want to be in the press, in the media. No one's asking. No one's running around going, oh, you know, we haven't heard from Harry and Meghan. We really need to hear from. No one's saying that. Nobody. No one on earth. She has to go and get an Oprah interview.
Gareth, you know, I still put it down as one of the true blessings in my life to have seen them on their Africa tour. Come on.
Oh, I'm so happy for you. You were right up front.
Did you not feel moved in any way?
No, please. Please. You were there. I was there at the same thing with you. It was a waste of time.
And I think you were like in the corner of the marquee, chatting away.
Sia was pushing right to the front. Sia was doing his best to get right to the front. So he was like standing directly in front of Meghan. It was hilarious.
So I'm the best renter crowd, you know, just regardless, even if I'm supporting a friend.
No, you were, you were loving it.
I will be there. I'll clap for you. I'll cheer for you. But with Meghan, I was just there going, oh, yeah.
Steph asks the question, and this is again something that a lot of people only realize after marriage. Steph says, I wonder if Harry understands what a mistake he made. You know, there are also people, ordinary people like all of us, who only realize a few months, maybe a few years into a marriage, what a terrible mistake we might have made. That's a horrible feeling here. When you look around you and you go, my life was actually better before I was with this person. I don't know that that's what Harry feels. He might feel exactly the opposite. It's none of my business. But consider that most of us go through our lives going, well, actually, I think the royal family lived better than me. I mean, that's the case for 99.9% of humanity, right? Probably even more of a percentage than that. And now he's just an ordinary dude in Los Angeles with a famous wife who's constantly trying to get them attention by going on Oprah and things like that. I'm sure he sometimes lies in bed at night going, what have I done? Sweet Jesus, this is such a mess. Anyway, that's all we got time for this morning, everybody. Have a happy day, and we will see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. bright and early. And hopefully we don't have any of Simpiwe's cars breaking down or Sia having to rush into the studio. Or at least you know the show's live and real. There's always something happening.
Yes.
Never a dull day on cliffcentral.com, especially not today.
Not at all.
All right. Have a happy time, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow. Cliffcentral.com.